Hey, I'm John.
I'm Tom.
And this is the first podcast from Online Schools. So what are we going to chat about today then?
Google Docs, I think.
Right, yeah, okay. I'll lead on this one. We started using Google Docs in our school recently.
Okay, so what is Google Docs then? What are we talking about?
Google Docs essentially is just an online file storage system, but it's majorly headed towards the collaboration side of things, so all about sharing.
I suppose the main thing as a sort of classroom teacher is the fact that students can do some work, and they can do it in school, they can do it at home, they can do it pretty much anywhere, they've got the internet, and then you share that with their teacher. And being a teacher as well and not really liking paperwork, I can then mark their work and through the cloud, through the internet, give them that feedback, and it's pretty much straight away. So if I'm sitting at home at 9 o'clock at night marking a student's work, if the student was quite sad enough to be online at that time of night, they can see that feedback straight away.
Yeah, instantly, and they can see literally as you type it, which leads us to one of the downsides of it. All documents in Google Docs have a chat facility in, and I've hunted high and low on the internet and you just can't switch the thing off. So that's something to watch out for with the students when they go a bit quiet.
But if you know a way, let us know, because obviously we can always miss things out.
Yeah, that's cool. So I wanted to chat about how we implemented it. So, where do we start?
I suppose with email.
Right.
And moving over from Exchange Server to Google.
Yeah, and staff didn't half complain about it, but once they'd started using email, of course they were logged into the whole Google system, so it was just a small step for them to start using Docs. I thought it was going to be a hassle, but actually quite a lot of staff have picked up on it already.
But you did like all the complaints about the way Gmail looked and how it worked and stuff, and all the positive vibes that were coming back to staff.
There were the 3 weeks worth of wanting to punch people's faces in for moaning so much.
Yeah, that'll be the one, yeah.
There was that. Anyway, so we've got it rolling, and we've started using it quite a lot. We've got it going in IT, we've got students sharing documents back to us.
Yeah, I think the students are far easier to train than the staff. I think the students have picked it up and run with it, and have sort of emails from students at home far more than in the past.
And if you're interested in using Google Docs, you literally can sign up for free. You add a domain to their empire. But the beauty is, if you've got a decent network technician, that they can set up the whole lot out of, I believe, ActiveX. So, you know, when the student logs onto the computer, it will automatically log them into Google Docs as well. And their details can be updated, you know, via the central Windows system. Other operating systems exist, obviously.
We didn't do that, however. We went for a third-party system where we've paid a third party that give us a bit of a VLE. So we're setting some websites up with them at the minute, sort of department websites. And we've also, and then also we get Google Docs for free, and it's all set up within the same system. So once someone logs into the company that we paid, it takes them through to their Google Docs, their Gmail, etc., as well as very, very limited other applications like Lucidchart we've been using a bit.
That's quite cool, though.
Creating some mind maps, yeah, it seems to be working quite well, and it's again got the share on it, so.
Yeah.
And what other apps we've been using?
Well, the file management on Lucidchart's actually splendid. It's got all the right clicks, you can drag files around, drop them into folders. I found that quite nice yesterday when I started using it. The whole single sign-in thing that this company's provided for us. It's to do with the marketplace. So there's educational apps, web apps that are available on the marketplace, like Lucidchart and some other bits and bobs. Aviary for a bit, but now that's gone.
Yeah, it's a bit of a shame.
Yeah, no, that was. Well, it was okay. I mean, it was good for that sound program, I should think. The graphics wasn't all that great. But there's another bitmap orientated graphics program called Pixlr, which is not exactly part of the Google Docs thing, but you can log in with the Google login, And I've had some quite spectacular successes with that one.
Yeah, not used to that yet.
Yeah, no, it's good. The only thing is it doesn't save on its own server. It pretends to, but it doesn't.
Where does it save then?
You have to save the PXD file locally and obviously lob it up into Google Docs yourself, which is a shame.
Fun with some students for that then.
Yeah. Well, I did it with the technology classes last year. You know, quite a reasonable level of students. And most of them got on with it. They really quite enjoyed it. Compared to Fireworks, which is much better, but much more complicated, and for most students, they've accessed Pixlr much better.
Plus, then they can go home and use it at home and all that sort of stuff as well.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll have another look at Google Docs a later podcast when we've had a bit more of a play with it and it's sort of progressed in our school a little bit more.
Yeah.
Okay, for our app for this podcast, we're looking at Puppet Pals, which is available on the iPad and the iPhone and iPod Touch, etc. Although I would think it would be far, far more difficult to use on the iPod Touch and the iPhone, mainly because of the size. But the idea of Puppet Pal is that you get some characters and you have a stage, and then you can drag the characters on and off the stage. But the clever thing about it is while you're doing that, you can record what you're doing, and it will record the sound as well, so you can make a story. So, for instance, we've done with some Year 6 students. They created a fairy tale using it, so they set their characters and added some themselves. They took some pictures and imported some stuff off the internet. They put it all together. Then they had their stage view, and they dragged on their characters and off their characters and did a proper little play and recorded the speech using the microphone on the iPad. It worked really, really well. Once that's done, you can export it out. It will go into something like iMovie or whatever, and edit it, and it creates some really, really nice little stories.
That sounds good. Have you had any feedback from primary schools about it?
Yeah, the feedback's really good. We've used it with all age groups, and the key to it is it's so simple to use. It's so effective in what you get, so it works with sort of reception upwards, basically. So reception, we get an awful lot out of it. They've created a really good product. We've had year sixes that did a tour of the school. They got some pictures, and they got some pictures themselves and pictures for obviously of the school, and did a tour of them sort of floating around the school. So obviously the product that they produce is far, far greater. We've also done it with some year eights, and again, really, really engaged, really into it. It's a matter of finding a context that's really good and really works.
Okay. Yeah, sounds good.
For more information on Puppet Pals and a whole load of other apps, check our website out. It's www.thetechteachers.com.
So, time for the online school booking plug.
Yeah, get it in.
Which system do we want to talk about then?
I think Phil.
Right, Phil's topical. We're about to finally get it rolled out in our school. It's only been in existence for, what, 2-3 years? I've only mentioned it to management a few times.
Yeah, we've only mentioned it for sort of 18 months, I suppose, so, you know, it's not bad.
Yeah, it's not too bad at all. Phil is a parents' evening or parent, you know, visiting day booking system. Very easy to set up and very easy to implement. At the moment, we're just going through the admin bit of printing out the login details for parents, getting those sent home. But once that's done, the parents just simply log on to the website, choose a teacher, choose a slot, book it. The teachers can see the bookings. Teachers can also do the bookings, so you know if a kid comes up in the during a lesson, they can book it there and then. And then the way we're going to do it is someone in admin will print all of our appointments out, give them to us just before the evening, and then away we go.
Yeah, I mean, the key sort of a parent's evening with myself is every time I lose the piece of paper. every single time. Or the other option, obviously, is to do it on an Excel spreadsheet, which you probably end up not saving when you close it, and therefore you lose some appointments. It happens every time to me, so hopefully the system, you know, will make it better. I mean, the feedback I've had from other schools has been really, really good, really positive where they've used it, so it should be good.
Yeah, and it's been primary schools as well as secondary schools. And there's been a fair old number of countries that have done it as well. I think it's coming along really nicely. A bit embarrassed that we're finally getting around to use it after so many have got into it, but yeah.
But for the price, it's just unbeatable compared to sort of the other companies out there that are
And how much is that currently?
We're doing it for £50, so.
What, per annum?
Yeah, for all the systems.
I'd say that was a bargain.
Check out online school booking for Phil and all the other systems there. And as I say, it's £50 a year for all the systems, including Bob, the room booking system, which is probably the most popular.
All together now, www.onlineschoolbooking.com.
Okay, we'll be back soon with the Online Schools podcast. Thanks for listening.
See you later.